Psalm 113, read, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalter number 426, a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. Let's sing the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Stanzas 1, 4, and 5 of 426.
Rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's now sing Psalter number 11. Psalter number 11. We'll sing the four stanzas. Let us now join together in prayer. Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious Father in heaven, with humble hearts, but also very thankful hearts, we offer unto Thee the evening sacrifice of prayer and worship. We bring before Thee the offerings of thanksgiving of those hearts which Thou hast humbled, but also shown the glories of salvation in Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the gift of Thine only begotten Son. We are thankful for the work of He who is our propitiation, our atonement, and our advocate at Thy right hand, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one in whom is the hope, our hope of glory, the one in whom we confess the truth that, yes, my Redeemer lives. He lives at Thy right hand, and He lives in my heart. So when the day of our death comes, we shall see Him face to face. And in the final resurrection with this body, though changed through the resurrection, to a heavenly body, we shall see Him in our inheritance, in the place of glory everlasting in the new heavens and earth. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that Thou art pleased to speak to us Thy word, to do an amazing miracle which we can only appreciate and see by faith. The miracle of speaking to us Thy word through the preaching of the gospel and making that word echo in our hearts by the work of the Spirit and to take root in our hearts so that that word may bring forth good fruit, living fruit, which abides forever. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast reminded us and assured us that we are Thy children, who are precious in Thy sight, and of whom Thou art very jealous in Thy love. We are thankful that we stand, we rest in Thy fatherly hand, out of which no man can pluck us. We are thankful that we rest securely, as we are surrounded by Thy blessing and Thy protecting grace. We thank Thee that as Thy children, we are protected from the devil and his whole dominion, who seek to cut us loose from Christ by every means possible and conceivable, to tempt our children to forsake the ways of the godly instruction of their parents, to tempt the adults in the ways of sin for a season of pleasure. Lord, be faithful to us that we might be faithful to Thee. Work by the preaching of the gospel in our hearts, by the Spirit's power, to write that word upon our hearts that we might not sin against Thee, but rather, with the word growing in our hearts, we may daily turn unto Thee in repentance, confessing our need for Christ, walk in that godly life which Christ has shown in the Scriptures. Make us wise unto salvation through the Holy Scriptures by a true and living faith. We are thankful that we have the Scriptures today. There have been preserved for us all the books of the Bible, wherein is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our salvation from sin. We are thankful that we may have the preaching of the Word today. We are thankful for our membership in a congregation which honors the office of Christ with deacons and elders and ministers. We're thankful that we belong to a congregation which upholds the Reformed faith. We're thankful that Thou in Thy mercy has condescended to draw us into the membership of the faithful congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though we do not deserve that privilege, though we have no right to boast of that reality, yet we are nevertheless very thankful that in spite of our sin, in spite of our unbelief and wickedness, Thou in Thy mercy has called us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. Therefore we pray that Thou wilt preserve us, for it is very easy for us to turn from Thee the living God and Thy word. Protect us and preserve us in faithfulness. Keep us preserved from temptation. If we walk in sin, restore us to the path of life. For those who do not faithfully attend the congregational worship services as they should, be pleased to prick their hearts and to chastise them until they once again return unto Thy house, where they may also hear the blessed privilege of being called Thy little children. For indeed we are Thy little children. bought with the blood of Christ, made thy children born as thy children by the Spirit of Christ, without the work or the will of man. We are thankful that to us also belongs the blessings of Jesus Christ. Continue to build up our congregation as a faithful church, not only seeking the truth and faithfulness to the truth in our congregation, but also in our desire, if it is thy will, to seek an official sister tie with the Protestant Reformed churches and the churches in Ireland and Singapore, if it is thy will, to seek with them a public expression and confession before the world and the false church that we also desire to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and loyal to his truth, faithful to thy truths of thy sovereign particular grace in Christ Jesus alone. And we pray that we also may be counted among many other Reformed churches as faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. Bless us in our work as a congregation in other areas of labor, such as the work in Gabaldon. We lift up before thee the needs of that mission labor and the hearts of the believers and their children who attend from time to time when the missionary is present. And also pray that they may enjoy their fellowship together in the weeks that the missionary is not present, to study the Word and to be edified by the Scriptures and prayer and singing together. Grant them growth in their need to worship on the Lord's Day, growth in their understanding of the Reformed faith, growth in our only comfort in life and death, which is to know that we belong to Jesus Christ by His death. Belong to Him in the way of godliness, faithfully serving Him in all areas of our lives. Bless Reverend and Mrs. Klein as they have traveled there and have fellowship with the saints, with the people there. Grant that their instruction and also their presence and their godly example may be a power and a tool in thy hand to build up these fellow saints in the truth, to guide them in the way of godliness, and to encourage them. And in spite of the separation from many other Reformed believers, yet thou art very close to them and to thy church, which is all over the earth. We belong to the body of Christ, that invisible heavenly reality of His elect, chosen from eternity, gathered by the Word and the Spirit from every nation, tribe, and tongue, gathered unto faith, repentance, and faith in Christ crucified. Thou bless the work of Professor Hanko in Singapore as he is there for several weeks. Grant that his lectures and above all the preaching of the Word may be a power by the work of the Spirit among the congregation there and their members and the children also. Grant that they may be encouraged and built up, also directed in the way of the truth of the Reformed faith, so that they may be unashamed of that gospel, to confess it in all its clearness, so that others around them may know exactly what they believe of thy holy word, in contrast to what is taught in the church world today and which is false. Give them the grace to stand firmly and soundly on the hope of the gospel and be unashamed of that gospel of Christ, which is our salvation. Bless Professor and Mrs. Hanko, particularly as they are in the latter years of their lives upon the earth, their earthly sojourn. Grant them health and strength to finish their work faithfully, then at the appointed time to return home again to the United States. among the churches there. We thank Thee for their labors also in our midst, their labors in the churches in Singapore and Ireland and in North America. Thank Thee for their faithful labors. Grant them Thy blessing for Jesus' sake and the fruits of their labors among all of the spiritual children whom Professor Hanko has taught over the many years of his ministry. And may it be a joy for him to see his spiritual children walking in the truth of Thy Word. Bless, Heavenly Father, Thy church wherever she is gathered and established in the earth. Bless Thy church in persecution. Bless Thy church in poverty and affliction. Bless Thy church in communist countries where the government hates Christ and Thee and seeks to stamp out any form of Christianity, but especially the Reformed faith. Bless Thy church where she is forced to meet in small numbers and in hiding places. Bless Thy church also in places where there is much prosperity and outward peace. Grant her the grace not to use that outward peace and prosperity to pursue the ways of the flesh and to begin to think that she has a right to the things of this earth. May the church in prosperity and outward peace and outward wealth, may she also use those things of the earth for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and the coming of that kingdom here in the last days when it is very, very close to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we resist the increased efforts of the devil to overthrow his word and destroy his church. Give us the grace to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our personal lives, but also as a church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Bless us now as we hear the word preached, as we leave Thy table. Send us from Thy table with the assurance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that Thou art our Father. May we be given the grace to live now and grow in that life of thanksgiving, a life in which we rejoice to see what Christ has accomplished for us, a life in which we delight to live in that reality, to live within the bounds of covenant fellowship with Thee. Give us a hearing ear, a willing heart, a joyful tongue and mouth to sing Thy praises, so that when we leave Thy house, it may be evident that we delight to worship Thee. We also are unashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Thee, our God, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's now sing Psalter number 152. Sing the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5 of 152.
In God I rest and pray.
Our scripture reading is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's as far as we'll read in God's Word. Our text is verses 3 through 6. That's our text, and it says this, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn in 1 John 1 verse 3 that as the little children of our Heavenly Father, truly our fellowship is with him. That fellowship is a fellowship of spiritual knowledge, which we do not have naturally, but is a knowledge that's revealed to us. It's put into you, into your new hearts, by the Lord through the preaching of the gospel. It's worked in you by the Spirit. It has been declared to you, so that in that knowledge you might know God. which is eternal life. We have learned that our fellowship with God in His truth includes a confession of sin. Notice that the sobering reality is that God does not, when He saves us, He does not completely deliver us from all of our sin. He delivers us from the guilt of sin. We are justified. But the process of sanctification isn't instant. Just as God sent Israel through the wilderness, then to Canaan, so God, when He redeems us, does not bring us to heaven immediately, as soon as we are regenerated, but sends us through the wilderness of this life to purify you and me, to strengthen your faith, to work in you the knowledge of God and the knowledge of salvation. And that purification process includes making you to know your sin. God teaches you and me in this wilderness of the life of this life how great our sin and misery is. But then only to also teach us how great His mercy to us is in Jesus Christ, who is the atonement for our sin. We have heard also from the preaching of the Word that God has made a way for us to have fellowship with Him. Made a way for us to be reconciled to Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ the righteous, by which you and I have a covering for our sin. And now, having heard all of these things by faith, what shall we do? What next must we learn? Now, in our text at this point in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John gives to you and me what we need to know because we have been forgiven our sin and because there is an atonement for sin. We need to know that fellowship with the Father, because of what Jesus has done, means that we keep His word and commandments by faith. Having this advocate at God's right hand, who is the atonement for our sin, let us, beloved, keep His word. And by keeping His word, we shall know Him. Let's consider then the text under that theme, knowing Him as God by keeping His word. Notice, first of all, what this thankful activity is. We'll notice, secondly, the example we are called to follow. And then finally, we'll notice also the possibility of doing this, which is also given to us in verse 5. This activity of the text, knowing God by keeping His word, involves revelation. It involves the revelation of God Himself to you and me, which John describes for us in three different but very closely related words. The first word is commandments. God has given to you and me His commandments. He's given to us the Ten Commandments, but in the Ten Commandments given to us in all of Scripture, all the ordinances, all the admonitions which you find in Scripture. How the church must live, how you and I must live from day to day, those things are part of all of the commandments of how God would have you live your life from moment to moment through the earth in the service of His glory. In addition to that, God has also given to us His truth. The commandments of God reflect and point us to the truth. The commandments of God, when they tell us, this is how you must live, this is what you must believe, They expose to us the opposite of the truth, which is the lie. The commandments of God are like a sharp, bright light shine down from heaven upon this earth and upon mankind and show what's false, what's a lie. Show that the lie is deceptive. Remember what Satan said to Eve? In the day that thou eatest thereof, you will not die. That's what the lie says. It says, sin is good, and man is good, and the way I teach is good, and the way of God's commandments, that's false, that's a lie, and that's not good. And the commandments of God also expose the greatest lie of man. And the greatest lie of man is that he thinks he is God and can do whatever he wants and what is right in his own eyes. That the commandments also bring to light. And the commandments show that he who does not keep these commandments of God shall be punished, shall be cursed by God. And the commandments show that in the way of disobedience and the way of the lie and false teachings, there can be no fellowship with God. The truth is that God is our Father, and He is God alone. God is the God of truth. 1 John 1 verse 5 taught God is light, not darkness. And all that is truth comes from Him. There is no truth apart from God, the triune God. And the truth is that God must be worshipped. He must be served. He may not be disobeyed. The truth is man did that. Man did disobey. And the truth is that the only hope of deliverance for man from sin is in Jesus Christ alone. That is our only salvation. And the truth is that salvation from the triune God through Jesus Christ is an unconditional, unmerited, undeserved, and a particular salvation by grace alone. And the truth is also that God works that salvation, as John has showed us, through Christ and His Spirit. Works that salvation, which is covenant salvation, in which we know, we are assured that God is our Father, we are His children. That's the truth. God is the absolute standard of all truth. Who He is, what His names are, what He does, that's the standard of what is truth. How do we know that? Where does this come from? Did we just invent in our own imaginations these things of the truth? And the answer is no. That comes from His Word, which is the third word John uses in the text to refer to revelation about God. God has revealed to us His commandments and His truth in the Bible. That's where you find God's Word. God spoke His Word from eternity through Jesus Christ, who is the Word, through the prophets, and then through God's people who were inspired to write the Scriptures upon the pages of the Bible. And through Christ, all of Scripture is revealed to us the truth and the commandments of God. That Word reveals to you and me the truth of our salvation and the life that we must live in that salvation. That Word reveals to us our sin. It also reveals to us the work of God to save us, which flows out of His decree of election in Christ to deliver us from our sin and to bring us together into God's family in fellowship with Him. The Word shows us that's the life we are called to live already now. Have you heard these things, beloved? Have you heard this word, this truth, and those commandments of God? Do you desire to hear them, and to hear them more and more, so that you might grow in the knowledge of God's word, His truth, and His commandments? That's the desire we want the Spirit to work in us. We want to hear, as God's little children, we want to hear His word. We have heard that word of Christ. As John says, this is the message which we have heard of Him, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That is the revelation of God. That's His word. That's His truth. That's His commandments. And to you, God has spoken face to face through Jesus Christ by a lawfully ordained minister like the Apostle John. What then? Having heard these things, what shall we do? The Lord says, keep them. Keep His word. Keep His commandments. Keep His truth. When the text teaches us to keep God's word, His commandments, and truth, He's not only saying there that, well, tell people that you keep them. Don't forget, beloved, there are many today who say they are Christians. They say they belong to a church. They say that they have been converted in the past. Now they're Christians. Yet, according to their walk of life and their confession, they don't appear to follow God's commandments or His word or His truth. They're not in church on Sunday. There are more important things to see on the Lord's Day and to attend on the Lord's Day. They're not faithfully confessing God's sovereign grace, or giving to the poor as they ought regularly, or living in a lawful marriage faithfully for life until death parts by the hand of God. There are many who say they know the Word of God, but that's not what the Apostle tells us and teaches us to do. In fact, teaches us and warns us to avoid a life in which we contradict what we say by what we do. We may not say, as John teaches us, we abide in Christ. I'm a Christian. But then live like we belong to the world and abide in the world. That doesn't work. We may not say today, well, I enjoy fellowship with the Father in heaven. It's wonderful. And then tomorrow, we live like the children of the world. In darkness. We may do that. That's, John says, a contradiction. We must, by our word and our life, keep God's commandments. His word and His truth. That word to keep means to preserve uncorrupted and protected from any harm. It means to see what we want to keep as very valuable and precious. Something which we will cherish. We will hold it close. We will protect it from robbers who want to steal it away from us. We will keep it and we will never sell it. Like Naboth. He refused to sell his inheritance. He kept it because of what it pictured. So we keep that inheritance, that word, those commandments, and that truth of God. Keep it close in our hearts. Keeping the word of God is that activity of taking that very valuable word and truth and commandments of God and hiding it in our hearts. Which means, first, yes, we must know it in our minds. But more than just knowing it in our minds, we must know that word, that truth of God and His commandments in our hearts. So that it governs every part of your life. That's the word, that's the standard, the truth the commandments which say this is the way you must walk in life, and then that's the way we pursue. That's the word which is our happiness, our joy. For as Jesus said, that's my meat and drink, to do the will of my Father in heaven. When we keep in that way God's commandments, His word and His truth, we shall know the Father. That's a significant blessing. We will live in the knowledge of the triune God as our Father. If we do not keep God's word, we will not know Him that way. Think about it, beloved, that's very clear and very practical. How can the little children of God know their Father in heaven and enjoy Him if they don't read His word, don't study His commandments, and don't learn His truth? That doesn't work, does it? How can a little child say, I love my Father, and then never live at home, never speak to Him, never want to know about his Father? We would say there's something wrong with that child. He needs to be chastised. How can then the little children of God say that they delight in fellowship with God? They are the children of God, but they live in darkness and sin and live as though they never want to be in the house of God. God is light. God cannot have fellowship with the children of darkness. That doesn't work. And in that way, those who refuse to keep the word of God, they cannot know God as Father, and cannot know then Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There's only one thing they can know about God, and that way of rejecting His word, refusing to keep His commandments, and hating His truth. And that is this, that God is the destroyer of those who reject His word, His Christ, His commandments, and His truth. And what a fearful thing if that's the only thing you know about God. That's the terrible, terrible warning we receive from the apostle about not keeping his word. Rather, in the positive side, the apostle teaches keeping the word and truth and commandments of God, we shall know our Father, and in that knowledge we rejoice in Him. We're happy, even though we may be weeping because of the troubles of this life, yet fundamentally, there's that spiritual joy. By keeping God's commandments, we shall know Him. What does that mean? Well, let's think about that as we go through the Ten Commandments. Keeping the first commandment by faith, what's the result? Then I will know that God is God alone. And the gods that men serve today, sports heroes, idols, and all the rest, money, they are no gods at all. That's what I will know about my Father in heaven. And secondly, second commandment, keeping that commandment, I will know that God is spirit and that He will be worshipped as He wills, not as I will. Thirdly, keeping the third commandment, I will know God's name, and I will cherish that name, because His name is greatly to be praised. Keeping the fourth commandment, what will we know about God? God is the covenant God of rest. He is the rest giver in Jesus Christ, my rest giver. Keeping the fifth commandment, I will know that God is sovereign, that if there is any authority in the earth, it comes from Him. That's why I must obey all authority. Or the sixth commandment, keeping that commandment, I will know that God is the God of life and our earthly existence, which I must uphold and value because He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. When I keep the seventh commandment, I will know that God is not only the covenant God, but He is my covenant God in Jesus Christ, who has established His covenant of grace with us in the marriage of Christ and His church. Keeping the eighth commandment, I will know God is the God of glory, whom I may not rob of the glory which is due His name. I am His servant. He is my Lord. In the ninth commandment, I learn God is the God of truth, and He hates the liar. In the tenth commandment, what do I learn about God? And really, that's the purpose of the Ten Commandments. That I know God. Not just know all these things I need to do, but there's a greater purpose, that I know the God who gives these commandments. And in the 10th commandment, I learn that God is infinitely complete in Himself, and that He is all and everything that you and I will ever need in life, in death, and in heaven to come. That's what I know. Some of the things that I learned to know about God. When I keep His truth, John says, you will know the Father. I will know that He is the standard of everything that He does, the absolute standard. He works, God says, all things after the counsel of His own will. He doesn't work after the standard of you and me, but Himself and His will. I learn by knowing God's truth that God governs everything in history for the purpose of His Lamb, who is at His right hand, and the coming of His covenant in all its perfection in the new heavens and earth. When I know the truth, I know God's covenant promises and that He is faithful to those promises for Jesus' sake. And I learned that although man is the author of confusion, God is the author of truth and righteousness and order. And then by keeping His word, what do I learn about God? Well, I learn according to 1 John, He who gives the word of life, He is the God of life, eternal life, a life which He gives to us, so that we might live with Him as His children. My little children, God teaches us, as you leave the table of communion, of the Lord's table, keep my word. Keep my commandments. Keep my truth. Thereby ye shall know that I am your God, your Father, for Jesus' sake. What's the example we should follow as we do that? The example is given to us in verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, even as Jesus walked. Well, how did Jesus walk? The Bible says he walked a way of humiliation in this life. He left the glory which he had with the Father in heaven, came into the likeness of sinful men, sojourned among us in the darkness of sin and among the ungodliness of wicked men, bearing the curse of our sin as our atonement, walking that way to the cross willingly for your salvation and for the glory of God. And in that way, he walked in righteousness, in obedience, in faithfulness to God, in love to God, and in the Word of God, and in the commandments of God, and in God's truth. John chapter 1, when it speaks of the Word becoming flesh, what did they behold in Him? John chapter 1 teaches grace and truth. He lived the truth, as well as being the one who revealed the truth. That's how Jesus walked. The darkness, wicked men, they rejected the Word of God. Christ kept the Word of God. Wicked men hated the commandments of God and rejected them. Christ said that was his meat and drink, and his joy to do it. Wicked men took the truth of God and of Christ and of man and salvation and all the rest and hated it. Christ loved that truth in his person and his work, especially on the cross. And when tempted, what did Jesus do? He took that word and defended himself from the devil and destroyed the devil's temptations. He expounded that truth to his disciples. In the hour of his death, when he died at the hands of wicked men, what did he do? He spoke the word of God in those seven crosswords, the word of our salvation, the truth of our salvation. And in those hours of his death, he kept God's commandments perfectly. That, beloved, cost him his life. But though he lost his life, what did Christ gain? Where is he? He attained the eternal glory at God's right hand. As Jesus walked, so must you walk. Little children, beloved, don't refuse to do that. Sometimes we can do that. God says, do this in his word, and we say, well, of all the commandments God has given us, I will do 99% of them, but in this commandment, at this time in my life, no, I'm not going to do that. That's one way we could refuse to walk as Jesus walked. Or we might say, well, yes, I love these commandments, all 100% of them, but I will do them only when it's convenient for me. If it's not convenient, if it interrupts what I want to do, well then, what I love I'm going to set aside because this is more important. Well then, we haven't kept God's commandments, have we? Or we might say, well, I'll keep these commandments of God, except when my co-workers start to mock me, well then I will hide my light under a bushel so it isn't so clear, and then I won't be persecuted. No, then we haven't kept God's commandments. Or we'll say, I'll keep the commandments of God unless it costs me a job or my life. Then I won't keep the commandments of God because this job is more important than the fourth commandment or the eighth commandment or something, or the seventh commandment or something like that. Well, no, then we haven't kept God's commandments. Jesus didn't walk that way. The apostle warns us against the thinking that, well, we can be the children of God at the same time not walking completely as the children of God or as Jesus did. Concerning that, the Lord is very sharp. He says in verse 4, there are those that say, I know him, and they keep not his commandments. The one that says that, John says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We lie to God when we say, yes, I love to be one of thy children, but then we don't do his commandments. We have lied to him. Do you know what lying is, children? It's not telling the truth. That's what John says. We say, I am the child of God. I'm one of his little children. But then don't do his commandments because it involves persecution, or I'll lose a job, or I'll lose friends, or I'll be mocked, or it's not convenient for my schedule. We're a liar. We're not living in God's truth. We're not obeying his word. Did Christ ever say that? Did he ever do that to the Father? I will keep thy commandments, except if I'm killed or threatened or mocked or persecuted, or it costs me my life. Never said that. It's necessary for us to walk, you see, as Jesus did. That's the only way of fellowship with the Father. And the way of walking is the way of, as Jesus did, is the way of keeping His Word, His commandments, and His truth. We must, you see, not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word from the heart. And the extent to which we must do them is total. Even if it costs you your job, your life, you must do it. That's the example of Christ we must follow. Follow that in thanksgiving. Don't follow that example so that having done what we're called to do, you can boast to others, "Look what I did." No, that should not be the motive, to get the praise of other people or even the praise of God, as though we can merit that from God. Our motive must be thanksgiving. Remember what Christ is for you, the covering of all of your sin. And let that be the engine that drives your good works, so to speak. Let that be the fountain out of which flows a life of thanksgiving. Christ is my atonement. He is my advocate. Merely of grace alone. What else can we do but be thankful to God by keeping His Word, keeping His truth, and keeping His commandments? In that way, we will enjoy fellowship with the Father, at the same time keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, separate from the world, in a confession where we say we have no place and no part in the darkness of this world. We are the children of light, separated from the world by the light, Jesus Christ. And that raises the question, well, how is this possible? Especially when we realize we're sinners. He that says he doesn't have sin is a liar. We're supposed to, according to the end of chapter 1, confess our sin. We're sinners. Well, we're sinners. And then we're called to keep God's commandments. How does this work? This is impossible. And yet it's not impossible because of what we read in verse 5. This is possible with God because of His love. The keeping of God's Word, His truth and commandments, is the way in which the love of God is perfected, or the love of God is brought to its goal in your life. The text doesn't mean that when you keep God's commandments, well, then you will earn God's love. That's not what the text is teaching. The text means to teach that the goal of God's love, when He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you, to be the covering for your sin, is so that you might love Him by keeping His Word, His truth, and His commandments. That's the goal of God's love in your heart. It's the love of God, you see, by which He loved you first, even before you ever knew that He loved you. That's the love which is so powerful that it puts that Word of God in your heart. It writes His commandments on you, on the tables of your new heart, and it imprints into you the truth of God's grace. And by that love, under the nurture and admonition of the Lord through the preaching of the gospel, God works in you that life of keeping His Word. Begin to see by that love that it is necessary for us to keep God's commandments. It's not optional. It's not just for older people to do. This is the calling of God's little children, from infants to the evening, the older years of life. And secondly, it is possible to keep God's commandments because Jesus walked in God's commandments. Don't forget that. Jesus walked not just to be a good example for you, but His walk was a redemptive walk. He redeemed you. by his walking in God's commandments, his word and his truth, so that you might follow him in the way which he has walked. Christ blazed the trail for us. Now he draws you by his Spirit down the same road, covered in his blood, whose end and goal is the perfect fullness of fellowship with the Father in heaven. His work, his walk, makes it possible, opens the road for you so to walk and to keep God's commandments. And by the love of God, that's the way he draws you unto himself, down the way which Christ walked. And that's what makes the impossible possible. How shall we walk then down that road? By faith, which is the gift of God to you by his grace and Spirit. Through that faith, beloved, keep the commandments of God and his word. By faith, that is, looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, abiding in Christ, keep those commandments of God. By faith, know that Christ is your righteousness. He is already the one who has fulfilled for you all the commandments of God. Cling to his perfection and find in Christ the life to keep God's word, to keep his commandments and his truth. That's the faith, you see, which rejoices in the atonement of Christ and in the advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the Father's right hand, praying for you that though we sin against him today, may God not deal with you in your sin, but in his mercy to bless you, so to love you that you might love him who has loved you first. By that faith, then it will be a joy to you to keep God's commandments, to keep his word and his truth. For in that you shall know the Father, which is eternal life. You will know as the little children there is, as John goes on to teach in the rest of the book, there is victory for you over the world and the devil. There is hope in this life full of disappointments. There is joy for you in this valley of sorrow and tears. There is comfort for you in this life which is full of pain and misery. And there is light for you in your homes, in the darkness of this world. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that by the Spirit of Christ and by his grace, we may be given the faith to abide in Christ, and in that way so to keep thy commandments, thy word, and thy truth. May we never sell these things or give them away, but cherish them in our hearts, and in them enjoy fellowship with thee, which is eternal life. Begin to enjoy that already now. Give us the grace to grow in this knowledge, and in the life of being thy little children, or made that for the sake of Christ and by his Spirit alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now give our offerings to the cause of the general fund. Let us now receive God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.